Hello, and welcome to What's the Big Idea? I'm your host, Andrew Whitmire. Today's episode is brought to you by Destination Imagination, commonly referred to as DI, the leading creative problem-solving experience for children. Through DI's innovative, project-based educational experiences, participants gain the skills that will set them up for success in careers like the one you're going to hear about today. Learn more about DI at destinationimagination.org. On today's episode, we're pleased to welcome Kevin Dua. One of the 1.7% of Black teachers nationally, Kevin Dua teaches history in Boston Public Schools. He's the first African-American to win Massachusetts History Teacher of the Year and was a finalist for the National Teacher of the Year. Kevin has worked with the Korematsu Institute for Civil Rights and Education to diversify curricula and has spoken on NPR, PBS, and GBH Basic Black for Schools to better support students and teachers of color. He co-established the Boston College Donovan Teaching Scholars and City Year Partnership to provide scholarships to City Year alumni pursuing master's degrees in education. Kevin was also honored with the Comcast NBC Universal City Year Alumni Leadership Award and the ODK's Emerging Advocate for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusivity for his contributions to education. Joining us today from Boston, Massachusetts, please welcome Kevin Dua. Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
I'm doing well, Andrew. Hi, everyone. Andrew, I truly appreciate the kind words, and it is good to be able to talk and just discuss various topics with a former classmate, since we both went to William & Mary down in Williamsburg, Virginia. It's an honor to be a part of the discussion that we're going to have today.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure. For those who are listening, as Kevin said, we both are graduates of the College of William & Mary. And it's been a while since we were running around campus together, but it's great to be here with you, Kevin, and to be talking about a topic that is obviously close to both of our hearts, education. I'm really excited to hear about your journey. It's been a really unique and varied one and really impactful journey. And I was hoping that maybe you could start out by just giving us a little bit of an intro on sort of how you got to now and sort of what you're doing today and sort of what led you on your public education teaching career.
I feel like any time that I've been asked that question, I've tried my best to pay homage to all the individuals who have helped me be the person who I am today. And I say person because I feel like the original plan in terms of my professional career had nothing to do with teaching in the first place. And so I may say that my first ever Black educators in my life were my mom and dad. I can reference that my mom was and still is a elementary school teacher. I can think of the different speech therapists, counselors, extracurricular coaches who helped me, whether I was a shy person, I had to overcome my speech impediment, someone who was bullied, someone who loved school, but struggled with trying to tap into their creativity, someone who was blessed to be able to attend one of the oldest and most prestigious colleges in the country, if not the world. I can cite all of these. And even through all of that, being a teacher was never the end goal. Whether it was a lawyer, being an artist, even at one point wanting to be a soccer player or a cast member on the Power Rangers team, being a teacher was never it. And I say that because I lean in on that so much in terms of not having a script. I think the educators in my life starting elementary school saw an individual, saw a young Black kid who was trying to figure out who he was. And so tapping into that creativity of not just writing a report about the woolly mammoth, but doing a visual display by putting a toy elephant in a Ziploc bag, filling it with water and freezing it overnight to bring it to class. Or being encouraged that even though I would attend a college that is predominantly white, that shouldn't deter me on my work ethic, the belief that I deserve to be there as well. And fast forward, taking a history degree, moving up to Massachusetts, serving 2 years in AmeriCorps, tutoring and mentoring young people through City or Greater Boston, receiving my Master's of Education from Boston College, and taking all of those opportunities to dedicate my, not just my professional life, but I would say my personal life into educating about bias, about anti-bias, about anti-racism, about cultural responsiveness, about true history, about Black liberation, about civil rights. I truly do give much gratitude to everyone before me, whether I knew them or not. And I always do share that the greatest evaluators or mentors that I've had in my professional career have been students. And for them to help me learn how I could do right by them has made me into someone whom I am content of being on a daily basis.
Wow. Yeah, that's so powerful and so much there I want to dig into. One thing that I feel like I keep hearing you say is that, you know, this road, this journey that you've taken on being an educator and sort of the impact that you've had, it wasn't a road that you walked alone, and that you had a lot of support along the way. You had a lot of collaboration along the way. And, you know, in Destination Imagination, we talk a lot about the four C's. You know, we talk about communication, you've mentioned creativity, critical thinking, as well as collaboration. And we believe that when we work together, we can go further. We can do more. And I appreciate that seems to be a part of your journey. And I'm curious to know, you know, of those four skills, is there any particular one that you find that you're tapping most frequently in the work that you're doing today with students and in schools? Or how do you contextualize your experience of the four C's or a four C in your work today?
I would say it's the critical thinking. Even though each of the four C's are integrated into the classroom, into an academic space, I would say throughout my career, critical thinking has been at the forefront. And the reason being is because I would say working in a K-12 school system, you do engage with students who, for many of them, experience ageism along with other isms within their life. This idea of compliance, this idea of indirect complacency, this idea of order, of structure. And for many people, that's necessary because everyone is growing. But with young people, there is a sense that many individuals have that that they haven't experienced the real world, that their life doesn't equate to what is outside of an academic building. And that's not true. Everyone has their own journey, their own backstory, their own world that they are navigating. And taking such experiences from young people is key in bringing in their stories into a classroom, having them be able to learn how to communicate that with their language, being able to help them sympathize with the individuals around them, and being able to tap into empathy, whether they knew how to do that or not. And the critical thinking piece is this idea that regardless of their age, how can they try to do good? And I use that phrase a lot in terms of who I am as an educator, because I think doing good ties into the critical thinking piece, in terms of one of the main goals of education, to help young people not just learn about themselves, learn about other people, learn about the world, but how they can take their experiences, their thinking, to be able to do good in real time and to teach it to other individuals. And to be able to do that, you have to be able to think about who you are. Think about how you view the world, whether it's through a positive lens or a lens that's based off bias, with preconceived notions. How do you think on your, on your feet per se? How are you able to solve an issue that may directly or indirectly impact you? And I think taking all of those elements and emphasizing to students that it is feasible to do good as a young person, whether you have straight A's, whether you are struggling with attendance, whether you attend a four-year college or a two-year college, whether you jump into community service, it's all helps in breaking this idea of a status quo that you have to be this template, this robotic template. And once students are able to tap into their own individual thinking, that's when they're able to learn, how can I connect with other people? How can I use this creativity to do X, Y, and Z? So the critical thinking piece is not only paramount, but it also helps to set the tone right at the beginning, where something that I've done consistently has been, I ask students to ask one question, any open-ended question about who I am as a person, as a teacher. And before I can answer the question, they have to explain to me how the question, how the answer to their question is relevant to them as a person, as a student. And that helps tap into them understanding justification, them understanding how they can hear other people's reasonings. So it that sets the tone in my classroom that thinking is key in order for them to excel, not just academically, but also socially as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really love what you said there around critical thinking. It's almost like what you're suggesting and how you sort of open up that sort of realization within each of us that we have something special and unique and powerful to give, is that it's like an introspective moment. It's like, I have to know me first. I have to think about me and my experiences first so that I can communicate them, so that I can collaborate with others, so that I can feel safe in this environment to express myself creatively, right? It's like there's almost like a psychological safety net that needs to be built around that. And I feel like I'd love to hear how you have specifically built some of those safety nets for your students to find and express themselves. Obviously, we know that you have done some amazing Guinness World Record setting over the years that started all the way back at William & Mary. So I'd love to hear, I know you have gotten creative in how you get kids to think introspectively and then critically think and open themselves up. But can you talk a little bit more about that? Because that moment is so magical and so special and so critical, to use the word again, that I think, to your point, once you find that, once you can tap into it, the world just opens up for young people. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about how you've done that over the years.
I would briefly tie into, the mention of the Guinness World Record when we were back in college. Huge football field, and coordinating within 2 hours, students and faculty members who may or may not have known each other how to do one of the most iconic dances in music history, the Thriller Dance. And I share that because I remember leading up to it. I remember sharing this ambitious idea. And I remember there were a lot of folks around me on campus who thought it was ridiculous, who thought it was silly, who thought there's no way, it's impossible. Because for so many individuals, they grew up going to a book fair in the elementary school, picking up the big blue book that says Guinness World Records, seeing the tallest individual, the longest nails. And so to have this idea presenting that they could potentially be featured in that iconic book, it's almost proved me wrong. It's almost hard to process that possibility. And I think for me, I think learning about history, I think learning about what the different experiences of Black folks, of folks of color in this country, about the sense of bigotry, the sense of white supremacy, the nation instilling this inferiority complex on folks that it's impossible. And individuals, not just with resilience, but individuals were already capable, always capable, inherently capable of doing good, of community service. But the system, the environment may not have reflected that. And I think the deep dive of history for me play that role in and wanting to pay it forward, in terms of always knowing that my circumstances, the status quo wasn't permanent, wasn't rigid, that there always is a better option of possibilities. And I share that because I think that trickled into what I have tried my best as a teacher. This idea of not just teaching students about history, about different individuals, whether featured in the textbook or individuals you see in the news, but also instilling this idea of you have to believe that there's an alternative that is better for everyone involved. And for many of the projects that I have started or worked with students on, whether it was students correcting the misidentification that websites had of Frederick Douglass, Nat Turner, and Denmark Vesey, and contacting companies to change that correction, whether in students submitting a tip to the FBI to open an investigation to find the whereabouts of civil rights icon Lloyd Gaines, who disappeared shortly after winning a Supreme Court case where the institution that he wanted to attend law school denied him because he was black, and the Supreme Court said, no, that is wrong. He should be allowed to attend a school. And then he disappeared. Whether it is the Guinness World Records of students being able to connect with local businesses, to be able to promote themselves, centered on promoting good, whether students were creating a mannequin challenge to share their perspectives about the 2016 U.S. presidential election, few days after the results and where the country, regardless of who people voted for, felt a certain way. And so young people taking the power of social media, taking the power of technology, and being able to visually display their viewpoints, whether it is 30 plus black teenagers reviving a black student union to talk about black empowerment, to talk about how their communities can center young black individuals, can recruit and retain teachers that look like them. I share all of that, and even trying to process everything, it does take me down memory lane, because each one of those references, there's a common denominator with all of that, and yeah. There was no script. It all leaned in on this trust of me conveying to students, you are asked to be a part of this history class to learn about the world. You are asked to display critical thinking, and we teach you all about individuals who have impacted this world. So it will be hypocritical if all I ask you to do is to take a multiple choice test. In many ways, to learn the way I and many millennials learn growing up, but just memorization. And so if we are asking you to learn about these people, then on the flip side, we should be asking you, what do you want to do with this? And just that trust of, this is not a trick. This is not just, we're just going to have a conversation and call it a day, but to show them that, yes, I'm here to listen. And then I want you all to be able to plan, to be able to think, to disagree, to compromise. I think that played in them learning to trust themselves to do this, as opposed to me just pointing to something that took place 30 years ago or took place in a different state. And so for many of my students, I do reference breaking that Guinness World Record back on our campus. And I reference that as in, like, I was a 20-year-old person, and I had people doubt me. And I, along with many of my friends and new friends, we pulled it off because it was something that we believed in, and we leaned in on the possibility of having fun, of organization. And you don't have to break a world record to make change. You could do something small. And I think showing those examples that students could see, build in on a combination of social change, of academic change, and so forth and so forth. So it was truly trusting on this idea that if I'm going to ask students to do a thing, they have every right, which I encourage them, to question me why.
This is part one of our interview with Kevin Dua. Be sure to tune in next week for part two. We would like to acknowledge that this episode of What's the Big Idea was recorded on land originally inhabited and cultivated by the Lenape, Massachusetts Miami, and Shawnee Nations. We are grateful for this land and for the people who have stewarded it for generations. This episode was produced by Kelsey Selleck with additional material provided by Donald Alfiero and music by Kevin McLeod. Special thanks to our guest, Kevin Dua, for joining us today. You can learn more about Kevin by following him on Instagram or Twitter at Kevin Dua. That's K-E-V-I-N-D-U-A. To learn more about our show and about DI, visit us at destinationimagination.org. If you'd like to inspire even more big ideas for young people around the world, consider making a charitable contribution to DI at destinationimagination.org/donate. I'm Andrew Whitmire. Thanks for listening to What's the Big Idea?
Join us in giving the gift of creativity. For decades, Destination Imagination has been helping kids from all walks of life find what makes them unique. But we can't fulfill that mission without supporters like you. A donation to Destination Imagination will help us deliver quality educational experiences that foster creativity and interest in STEAM fields. Help us ignite the spirit of collaboration with events that span six continents. Help us empower the leaders and innovators of tomorrow. Donate to Destination Imagination today. Learn more at destinationimagination.org/donate.
Destination Imagination taught me how to work as a member of a team.
Destination Imagination taught me leadership skills.
Destination Imagination taught me that there are infinite ways for me to express my creativity.
If you're ready to awaken creativity and ignite a love of learning for your child, join Destination Imagination today. Hi, I'm Johnny Wells, Director of Education at Destination Imagination. DI provides unique educational experiences that give students the opportunity to create projects, solve problems, learn new concepts, and have a great time in the process. Just listen to what some of our alumni have to say.
I use what I learned in DI to solve problems at work, at home, and in every aspect of my life.
I use what I learned in DI to give me confidence when I try something new.
I use what I learned in DI to make a positive impact within my community.
Today's DI participants are tomorrow's innovators, problem solvers, and leaders. If that sounds like a good fit for you and the young people in your life, we'd love to have you join us. To get started today, visit destinationimagination.org.